This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
This information has the power to protect your children from unimaginable harm, shield them from heartache, and even preserve their faith. Sexual abuse, especially when it happens within trusted religious spaces, can deeply scar a child and shake their relationship with Islam forever. So today, we are equipping ourselves with tools, both psychologically and spiritually, to safeguard our children and keep their hearts connected to our faith. It is a very difficult but essential topic, protecting our children from sexual abuse. As parents, as caregivers, as members of the community, it is our duty to safeguard the innocence and safety of our children. Allah says in the Quran, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you who have believed, protect yourselves and your family from fire. Now, how do we protect our family from fire when the person that we are entrusting to teach them the Quran takes advantage of them? How do we protect them when the person who is getting them to memorize Quran or getting them to learn about the Islamic principles is the very perpetrator who is trying to groom them for their own pleasures? This is a very difficult topic to discuss, and it is so prevalent, and many people don't recognize how prevalent it is. In the 3 decades that I have been doing faith-based counseling, I have seen thousands of Muslims, and it's been worldwide. And there have been so many cases, hundreds and hundreds of cases of child abuse, sexual abuse. And a percentage of that sexual abuse has been with the religious leaders. It has been with whether the Quran teacher, it has been with the imam, it has been with an individual that the family has trusted. It has been with someone that they have thought that they are coming to teach them about the deen. This is one of the most dangerous things that can happen to any child, because not only are they violated sexually, which is never acceptable, but they are being manipulated by the very people who are trying to teach them the religion, the very people that the parents who have trusted them, they have given them their child. We protect our children from strangers, from going out. Many parents are overprotective when it comes to them going out with friends or going out to the mall. But what they don't recognize is that the danger that lurks within our Islamic institutions, within the Quranic circles, and this is not to cast doubt on every member of our community. There are plenty of individuals who are upright. There are plenty of individuals who are God conscious. There are very individuals who are earnestly working to help save our communities. However, as parents, as caretakers, as community leaders, we have a responsibility to follow certain principles to empower our children, for them to be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. And so this is going to be a very critical topic. I don't want you to dismiss this and think this does not happen. This is nothing to worry about. This is a fluke. I remember being in the Middle East, wanting to give a talk to the mothers, telling them within the school, I want to talk to you about saving your children from being sexually abused. They dismissed it. Some were outraged. They said, this doesn't happen in our communities. And you know what I told them? I said, you don't know what is happening in the communities, because the people who have been sexually abused will not come to dinner parties and talk about it. They will not come to the masjid and share their experiences. This is something that they have so much shame, so much anger, so much frustration. It's something that is buried deep within them. And many of the individuals that I have spoken with, they have said that I am the first person that they have ever exposed their sexual abuse to. And that woman could be 40 years old. That man could be in his 50s. And I will be the first person that they will share it with. So just because people are not talking about their experiences does not mean that it's not happening. This is something that is prevalent. It is so disgusting. disgusting and it is harming our communities. And you cannot imagine the impact that it has on a person's life for the rest of their life when this happens. And I will discuss one by one. I will do a series because this is such an important topic and I want to address it one at a time. The first one that we are going to discuss is how to protect our children. First, we have to recognize that there is a power dynamic. We need to educate our children. We need to let them know that what is appropriate, what is inappropriate. From very early on, when we are teaching our children to be obedient, not to talk back, not to speak up, not to question anything, and they have their mind programmed to follow authority, this actually breeds abuse. What do I mean by this? That if we don't empower our children to speak up when something is wrong, if we are not teaching our children to express their opinion, to speak up, to build their confidence, then what ends up happening is that any authority figure can tell them what to do and they will blindly listen. And this is so dangerous. That is why instilling your children with confidence, with the ability to speak up, with the ability to call out what is wrong is one of the most important skills that a child can gain. Now, a lot of parents don't like to do this because it makes parenting more challenging. It's a lot easier to just say, you know what, just be quiet, don't speak up, just listen to what I say and follow what I say. And this causes children to just go along with anyone who is an authority figure. So teaching obedience to Allah is important. Obedience to parents is important. However, we have to also teach them to be confident, to use their minds, to speak up when something is wrong. Now, when you teach children from very early on about haya, which is modesty, this is a very important concept for children to learn, that who do they undress in front of? Who is able to, let's say, help them in the bathroom? Who can see their private parts? And it's very important to tell them about mom and dad are able to help you and no one else should be seeing, no one else should be touching. And if this is not communicated to the children, then they can be confused about what is right and what is wrong, especially when it comes from an individual that they trust and the family trust. Now, one of the things I remember from being very young, I was maybe 6 years old, and my mom, mashallah, tabarakallah, Allah yarhamha, was very progressive. She would read a lot of books of psychology, very way ahead of her times. And she trained me from when I was 5 or 6 that no one is allowed to touch me inappropriately. And she even taught me that if someone does, I have every right to protect myself. I have every right to do what it takes to guard against this. Now, almost every case of sexual abuse that I have seen in the past 3 decades, when I ask them, did you ever get a talk from your parent telling you what is appropriate, what is inappropriate? Every single one of them said, I never got that talk. I was confused. I didn't know. So we have to safeguard our children. We have to teach them. We have to prepare them. You cannot just throw them to the wolves and not give them the tools in the way of thinking and the strategy to deal with these difficult situations. So one of the things that I would tell my children when they were little, first of all, it was about you always have to do age-appropriate education. So first is about not letting anyone see your private parts, not letting anyone touch your private parts. And I would actually tell them that no matter who the person is, it doesn't matter how much we love them, it doesn't matter how much we respect them. If they do anything inappropriate, if they touch you or they're not supposed to touch you, if they tell you to do things that you don't feel comfortable with, you have our permission to get out of that situation. You have our permission to do whatever it takes to stop this. Because many times children feel a sense of pressure. They feel that they have to please the elders, that they have to do whatever they say. And many of the clients would tell me if whether it was a family member, whether it was a friend of the family, almost all the time, I would say over 80% of the time, it was someone the family trusted. It was either a family member, or it was someone that was maybe a neighbor that they trusted. Maybe it was a cousin. It was someone that had access to the kids. It's rarely a stranger. Now, it does happen where it could be someone on the street, someone in the store where a person will act inappropriately, or on the public transportation. Sometimes in the Middle East that happens. However, when it is prolonged sexual abuse, it's usually maybe with male help at home. That happens in the Middle East a lot, where it could be with family members that they live in a joint system. They have many family members. And I had this one client who told me there were so many family members who were living in the home with no supervision, and she got abused by several family members within that home. So we have to be vigilant. We have to teach our children that it doesn't matter who it is. You don't have to obey when someone is telling you to do the wrong thing. Allah has taught us not to even obey our parents if they are telling us to worship an idol. We are able to speak up against that. So what about equipping our children to recognize that if someone is telling you to do something wrong, to put an end to it, and to tell them, come to me and I will believe not whatever you say, but if anything happens to you, then it is important to share with me and to ask and to have that dialogue. Now, if a child comes to you, and this is very critical, if a child comes to you and reports that something has happened, they say, so-and-so touched me, so-and-so did this, this, and that, you have to listen to this child and take it seriously. There are so many cases where an individual has built up the courage. They're a little kid. They've built up the courage. They have fought the shame. They have fought the fear. They have fought so much within themselves to go and tell their parents about the abuse. And what do the parents say? You're making it up. You're a liar. You just want attention. You don't know what you're talking about. You have an active imagination. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to a person who has been violated. When you dismiss them, when you actually say that they are a liar and you don't hear them out and you somehow blame the victim, this is one of the worst things. And it actually takes so much longer to heal from this. From a psychological perspective, it is so much more difficult when you are not believed. So if a person has been sexually abused, when a child has been sexually abused, and they tell their parents, and when the parent stands up and they let that person have it, they fire the person, they protect them. If it's a family member, they don't ever let them have access to their kids again, and they stand up for that. That is so therapeutic. It is healing because the child feels that they are protected. When you ignore your child, when you dismiss your child, when you tell them that they are a liar, and when you blame your child, then you are allowing the abuse to continue, and that child will forever lose trust in you. That child will forever despise you and resent you for not protecting them at a time where they were helpless. They were completely helpless. So if you have a child coming up to you, don't assume they're making this stuff up. Kids don't make up things like this. A five-year-old telling you that they were fondled, this is something they are reporting to you. Take it seriously. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's the person, if it's a sibling, if it's a cousin, if it's a nephew, it's a whoever it is, your best friend, whoever it is, listen to your child and don't dismiss them. Because this is what can cause and allow the abuse to continue. So you have to realize that listening to your child, first of all, letting them know that whoever it is, you have permission to get yourself out of there, whatever you need to do, get yourself out of there. Then believing your child when they are talking to you. Third thing is making sure that your children are not unsupervised. When you have big family gatherings, when you have lots of cousins, you need to periodically check on them. They need to know, people around need to know that you are a vigilant parent. If you are negligent, if you get caught up with your own friends, with your own activities, with your own troubles, whatever it is, and a child is left unprotected, they are going to be a prey. They are going to be a prey. And the predators notice that. They notice when parents are busy. They notice when parents are negligent. They notice when parents do not check in. So one of the ways that I would safeguard my children, I would highly encourage everyone to do the same, is when you have a religious figure coming to your home and you are getting them, let's say, the Quran, the hefs, the whatever it is, make sure it's in an open area. I would have them sitting in the living room. I would have them in a place where I would come and go periodically so that there is supervision. Now, alhamdulillah, we were blessed with a very righteous sheikh. May Allah preserve him. Now, we don't know. We can't just assume. We can't just assume it's because, oh, we've known him for so long. Oh, because he has this ijazah and that ijazah. Some people have a PhD. Some people have many ijazahs. That does not prevent them from having a diseased heart. And that's something we'll get into, what causes this. But right now we're talking about, don't just assume that because it's a person with a certain degree, a certain length of beard, a certain accomplishment, beautiful voice, somehow they are like immune to doing these things. Put your kids under your supervision. Do not have them go in a room and close the door and then hope for the best and think that somehow that they're safe. You cannot do that. Even if you are at a dinner party, you're at your family's home, make sure that everyone knows that you check on your children, that they are not just forgotten. Now, obviously, I do have to make it like a little disclaimer that there are many parents who are actually hyper vigilant and sometimes maybe extremely paranoid, and they don't let their kids breathe. They don't let them go anywhere. That's not healthy either, because they're going to feel suffocated and they're going to want to, you know, just run away. And many do. So you have to keep it a balance. As they're getting older and more knowledgeable, you give them more space and more freedom. However, you are vigilant. Now, one of the things that I would always tell my children is that make sure that if someone does anything inappropriate, what they're going to say is that they will say, I will kill you or I will kill your entire family if you tell anyone. So there is a threat. There's a threat that if you share, then some harm will come. Okay. And some religious figures, unfortunately, will say, even if you tell anyone, no one's going to believe you because I'm so loved. I'm so respected. I'm so trusted, which this is just unbelievable that someone can feel so untouchable. Where is the humility? Where is the God consciousness? How can someone have this level of knowledge and yet be so arrogant? So that in itself, that will be another topic, that why this happens and how it happened. But this is very critical for you to empower your kids and tell them the tactic that these people will use is to threaten, to say that they will harm you, harm the family. And many people, when you have these little children, they carry the weight of the world because they think that somehow by staying silent, they are protecting their families. They really believe that he'll kill the family. And so they allow the abuse. They don't speak up. And the reason the perpetrators threaten them with this is because they don't want to be caught. They want to continue the sexual abuse. So when you tell your kids that, they will know. It's like, aha, this I know this trick. You have to empower them. And another thing is that I would tell my kids that if anyone tells you, and I would always say this because we were living in the Middle East and we had house help, and I would say this in front of the house help, and I say, if anyone ever tells you, don't tell your parents, no, this is a bad person. Why in the world would anyone say, don't tell your parent unless they're doing something wrong? And I would let everybody know that this is our view and this is where we stand, and the kids knew this. So when someone says, either I'm going to threaten you or don't tell your parents, these are red flags that go off and they know this is something that is dangerous and they become aware. But when they don't know the tactics, when they don't know what is right, what is wrong, what is appropriate, what is inappropriate, they just kind of go along with it. And the damage that this does, the damage of being sexually abused by a religious leader is devastating. Any kind of sexual abuse at any age is devastating. But this takes it to another level, because most of the times, those who have been violated, those who have been sexually abused by whoever it is, they draw strength upon their faith. They draw strength upon the fact that Qadarullah mashafa, you know, I will pull closer to Allah. I will get through this. It is through their faith. They may go to religious leaders to get that guidance, to get that strength. But when it's the actual religious leader who does this, then their faith, it's like a candle that just goes out. Where did they turn? The person that they trusted, they betrayed them. So this is why it's so much more dangerous, and you have to be so vigilant. And you have to teach your children to speak with you. That's why you have to build a relationship with your kids. Have an open dialogue where they can talk with you. If you are not having a dialogue with your kids, if they're not telling you about the daily events and you are not investing in having a relationship with them, and they're not telling you about the daily events, they're not going to tell you about this. I have had so many cases of sexual abuse where I will tell them, did you tell your parents about what was going on? And they will say that I couldn't even talk to my parents about school, about friends. When you overreact, when you yell, scream, and you overreact about the little things, then how can they possibly trust you emotionally to share the big things? When I spoke to a group of 50, 60 Muslim youth in our community, and I gave them different scenarios. What if something happens to you? What if you're at a gathering, someone spikes your drink, someone puts something in you, someone tries to molest you, someone tries to rape you? Will you go to your parents? Not one child raised their hand. Not one teen said, I will go to my parents. Even though I created scenarios that were just horrific. And I said, why wouldn't you go to your parents? I said, they can't even handle the small things. They will freak out. They can't even control their anger for the little things. So how do you expect me to go to them and talk to them about being sexually abused, about being molested, about being raped? Actually, one client of mine was raped. She was in high school. And when she came back, imagine the fear, imagine the horror that she had to go through. Well, she put herself in a difficult situation. She compromised certain things. And that does not mean that this is something that we have to get angry at the person if they have been abused. When she came back and she reported the rape to her mother started hitting her and getting mad at her and blaming her. Now, we have to learn how to deal with these situations. A person, when they are harmed, the first thing they need is to be comforted. The first thing they need is medical attention. The first thing they need is maybe some counseling, shaming them, getting mad at them. Obviously, people make wrong choices. They may be in the wrong place at the wrong time, doing the wrong things. I understand, but we need to educate. Shaming, yelling, hitting is not going to solve the problem. It makes them actually despise their families and their faith more because they felt that they were not protected. And for many of the youth, their parents represent Islam. So if the parent is not reacting in the correct way when they are being abused, they are going to distance themselves. They are going to pull away from the deen. We have to educate our kids at any age and prepare them mentally and emotionally. And there have been cases of individuals being raped even at an older age. And it was because of maybe some bad choices. And I had a client come to me when her daughter was raped. And she thought it was just the end of her life. She wanted to die. The mother wanted to die because she thought it was the end of the world. And she, obviously, it is so hard. It is so horrific to experience such a thing. And this individual was religious and was the son of a very religious individual who did this. And it was very difficult. It was very difficult for the mother. It was very difficult for the girl to understand. However, if you take a situation like that and say, okay, it won't make the situation better by getting angry. It won't make the situation any better by just you overreacting. Actually, the way it was guided within the sessions, they became closer than ever. The mother and the daughter became closer than ever because they were finally able to speak to one another. They were finally able to have a relationship, not just being told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, but it was an actual relationship. So what we need to do is recognize that no matter how knowledgeable a person is, no matter how much we love and respect them, people are dealing with their own demons. We have no idea. You have no idea what people go through. I have an idea what people go through because they share with me. They open up. They could be very outwardly religious and people will tell me, sister, I go to the masjid 5 times a day, but I have this addiction. Sister, I come across as very charming and loving and kind to others, but at home I'm a monster. So you have to recognize that many people are living with demons within themselves. Maybe they have psychological problems. Maybe they have issues that they have not resolved. And you have to recognize, you have to protect, but not just by overprotecting. I feel that we have enough parents who are just so overprotective that they don't let their kids breathe. That's not healthy either. We have to create a balance. Educate your kids, teach them what's right and wrong, but also give some level of freedom, but also give that, you know, that trust. And that is very critical to establish. I pray that Allah protects our children, that protects the children of our ummah, those individuals who are so vulnerable. They don't have a voice. They can't understand even who to believe and what to believe. We have to be vigilant in taking care of them. They are our amana, and we have to protect them and safeguard their innocence. And this is one of the most important things that you can do. And I see the impact of those who have been sexually abused. They will have psychological disorders. They will have personality disorders. They will have issues in their relationships. There will be trust issues. There will be problems throughout their lives. So what you can do to protect them, that is absolutely the best thing you can do, is educate, protect, but within limits, and limits where you are not just, you can't just hide them in the house and not let them out and not let them have friends, not let them do anything. It is such a fine balance, and it's so critical to have that relationship with your kids, to have them be able to trust you, to talk to you, to share if anything is wrong, and for you to manage your own emotions, for you to be able to regulate. And that is why it is so important what I teach in the Mindful Hearts Academy, teaching people, women especially, how to regulate their emotions, not to be overreactionary, not to yell and scream and shame. These methodologies will just push your children away. And to instill confidence in your children so that they can speak up for themselves. Now, obviously, if they're very little, it's hard. But as they get older, instill that confidence in them. Teach them. And this is why they are able to, like those individuals who speak up, because there are individuals that were in situations like this. And they said, no, I didn't allow it to happen. I spoke up for myself. I got out of that situation because they had the confidence. And that's why it's so important teaching your kids how to have inner confidence. So I pray that Allah protects our children, that Allah protects those and helps those who have been sexually abused. Ya Allah, heal their hearts, help them to stay connected with you despite all the challenges they've gone through, despite the abuse, that they reconnect with you, Ya Allah, and rebuild their faith. And Ya Allah, guide our leaders, those who have those inner demons. Ya Allah, help them to get the help that they need. And Ya Allah, help us to protect our community from these perpetrators. There has to be a zero tolerance for this kind of behavior. And if we don't have a zero tolerance, then what's going to happen is that it will happen again and again and again, because people look at it and say, well, nothing happened. So we really need to safeguard our children by teaching them these valuable tips so that they are not damaged, that they don't lose faith, and they don't get their lives and relationships destroyed. I pray that Allah will help us in taking care of these beautiful amanas that we have. Assalamu alaikum.